Lord, we do thank you for this day today. We thank you that we can come together in fellowship as believers, and thank you that Sarah's making good progress. Just continue to touch her, both Sarah Briggs and Sarah Price, Lord, that they're doing well, and just continue to minister to their bodies. And do pray for Bennett tomorrow as he has his knee replacement. Help things to go smoothly, not to have any complications there, and that he would heal quickly and be back up on his feet, and just minister to him. And pray for Rachel today, that you would continue to touch her, and the Lord really help her and bring her back to health, we ask. And Lord, think of Larry White here and struggling with his diabetes. Lord, we pray that you would just touch his body also. And Lord, other folks that have great needs in our class that are healing from surgery, and Lord, just ask you to minister to each one of them and touch them. Think of Brother Shoup, that you'd work in Doug's heart and his life and help his hip to heal and continue to do well there. And for Paul, Lord, as he's recovering from the shoulder surgery, continue to work in his life also. And Lord, there are needs here I do not know about, but we ask you, Lord, to touch each one and minister to help folks right where they are today. And then, Lord, as we study your word this morning, we look to you for help. We need your help. Ask you, Lord, just to really encourage our hearts as we look at your word today. Help us that we would please you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you struggle with sin? How many struggle with sin? You kind of have a problem with that from time to time. All right, good. We all do, don't we? Every day of our lives, we struggle with sin. Would you be interested? Let me ask another question. How many of you would be interested to know the secret to having victory over sin? The secret to having victory over sin. If you'll send me $100, I'll... And see, if you'll all send me money, then I'll be able to pay my bills, and I won't sin either, so that'd be good, all right? This morning, I want to give you something that if you have this, it will help you to keep from sinning. In fact, it is a proportional. The more of this you have, the less you will sin. The less of this you have, the more you will sin. You with me so far? Okay, let's pray and we'll go home, all right? What's the secret of having victory over sin? Are you thinking? What's the secret? This is a topic we don't hear much preached about. It's a topic that I need to hear about often. This morning, I want to talk to you about the importance of having a fear of God. A fear of God. If you have a reverential awe or a fear of God, realize who God is and what he can do and will do, it will help you to keep from sinning. Jim Burke said that every sin that we commit is a direct result of a wrong understanding about God. If we don't have a proper fear of God, it's because we don't have a proper understanding about God. We don't know God. The more you know God, the more you will fear God. And the more you fear God, the less you will sin. Okay? So, number one, identifying the fear of God. Now, I've already talked about it a little bit, but let me just throw it open to you. I've used some synonyms already. How would you define the fear of God? Or what are some synonyms you might use? I heard over here, where? I hear something. Reverence. Okay? What does it mean to have reverence? Fear, right? Respect. What else? How would you define the fear of God? An intimate relationship? Okay.
Subjection of your will to His.
Knowledge of His power. Let me give you three or four I've got written down here. Schofield says, the fear of God is a reverential trust with a hatred of evil. Okay? A reverential trust with a hatred of evil. Another man said, it is a reverent regard for God tempered with awe and fear of punishment or disobedience. Another one said, is an affectionate reverence. Now, that's kind of unique, isn't it, putting those two words together?
by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his father's law. That's similar to what Steve said, isn't it? Finally, respect for God because of who he is. Those are just some definitions of it. Let me give you a couple illustrations. When I was younger and living at home, I had a certain fear of my father. Now, does that mean that every time my father walked in the room, I said, oh, here comes my dad, oh no, oh, or I got down on my knees and I bowed to him? Maybe I should have, but you know, it's interesting. When my dad told me to do something and I didn't do it and he came home, that's when the fear of my father really came in. Because I'd learned some things about my father, and that is, if you don't do what he says to do, there is pain involved. And I didn't like pain. Still not real fond of it. And so I had a fear of my father, a respect, a reverence. Not once in my life have I ever called my dad my old man. Now, my dad's 83. Well, just, in fact, he just turned 84. But I tell you what, I'm still not going to talk back to my dad. He'll whoop me. He may be 84, but he's as strong as a horse. I have a reverential fear. Well, I don't know if it's reverential. I have a fear of electricity. Now, when I came in this morning, you didn't see me going, oh no, electricity, electricity. Now, those kind of people they put in rooms that have padded walls, you know. But we've been doing a little bit of work in my house and doing a little wiring and I thank the Lord for breakers, you know. Yeah, that's right. There you go. But yeah, I'll be honest with you. I've been shocked a few times working with an outlet, which has what, 110? Is that volts? That's volt. Now, you get into the breaker panel, and you're up to, what, 220? My fear level goes up a little bit. That's why I let David Ellison do all that kind of work. His eyes lit up the other day. It was really neat. I don't know what to... I made a visit this week to a guy who works for Pike Construction. And they do all the power line construction and stuff. He works actually in Knoxville. And he said, oh, tomorrow... And he was showing me his shirt. They wear this special shirt that is... fire retardant and all kinds of things. And he said, tomorrow, he said, we're putting up an 80-foot power pole. And he said, the exciting thing is we're putting it up amidst wires that are carrying 13,000 volts. And he said, we wear all these, you know, rubber stuff on our arms and do all this stuff. And I'm thinking, buddy, you're getting to 13,000 volts. I don't care what you're wearing. You're a dead man, you know. 13,000 volts. I mean, there's some power there. I guess are there transmission lines, Bob? You're our local distribution. So that's the big stuff, huh? Yeah. So my fear goes up another notch, doesn't it? It's interesting. My fear of electricity is directly proportional to the power of the electricity. By the way, when your children are small, how much fear of electricity do they have? No, and they take bobby pins and things and they stick them in outlets, you know, and they just think it's all kinds of fun. And my brother-in-law did that when he was a child and has lasting problems. No, not really. and it's only as you teach them about the danger of electricity that they become a little more fearful and respectful of electricity. There is a direct correlation to the power and my knowledge of that power and my respect for electricity. And the exact same thing is true of the power of the fear of God, folks. Exact same thing is true. So we talked a little bit about the fear of God, all right? And secondly, the importance of the fear of God, okay? You have some idea what it is. Respect, reverence, for God because of who he is and what he can do. Okay, and we'll talk more about that as we move along. Secondly, the importance of the fear of God. At least 186 times in the Bible, the fear of God is mentioned. That's a bunch. 165 times in the Old Testament, 21 times in the New Testament, the fear of God's talked about. Let me give you some of those verses. Proverbs 1:7 is probably the one you know. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Now, what is knowledge? Well, that's knowing something. Look, he said, look, you don't know anything until you understand or know and have a fear of God. Boy, that is so evident in our society today. We have some of the smartest dumb people that you've ever met in your life. What is the problem? Well, they have no idea of the fear of God. They have no reverence for God at all. Listen to another one. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, that's the proper use of knowledge. You can know a lot of things, but wisdom says, hey, I know how to use it. Look. People are stupid, they are ignorant if they don't have the fear of God. Those are pretty strong statements, aren't they? That makes the fear of God pretty important. Let me give you another one. Proverbs 15:16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Now it's interesting as you read that passage. Let me read it to you again. And what two things is he comparing? Better is little with the fear of the Lord, then great treasure and trouble therewith. What's he comparing? Little and treasure, okay? And he said it's better to have little if you have the fear of God than to have a lot of things, but have what? Trouble. So if you don't have the fear of God, what are you going to have? That's an easy question. Come on. Trouble. Trouble. Let me give you a couple more. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord God require of thee? Now stop and think. Here's the nation Israel. What does God want from them? Now, what are some possible answers? What are some possible things God could say? Okay, Israel, you're my people, my nation. Here's what I want from you. What are some possible answers? Obedience? Yeah, fear of God. What else? Quit that, Steve. You just stole my thunder right there. What are some other things he could have said? I want your money. I want your service. I want your obedience. I want your praise. But here's what he says, folks. And it's lost all the impact because of Steve. It's all Steve's fault. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God? Now, notice, if you fear God and to walk in all his ways, so what does fearing God lead to? When I have a proper reverence for God, I will obey. So it says to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Look, all of those things are contingent upon a fear of God. You say, I want to love God. Well, okay, get a fear of God. Know who God is. You say, I want to obey God. All right, get the fear of God. You say, I want to serve God. Okay, get the fear of God. All those things. One more, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Listen to this verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All right, what's the conclusion of the whole matter? Here's the end, okay? No ifs, ands, or buts. Here it is. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Boy, we're rough. He's like, are you awake this morning? Are you getting this, folks? Nod your head if you're getting it. Say this, I'm not getting it. This means I don't even know what's going on. I'm not sure where I am, okay? All right. Look, folks. God says in his word that the fear of God is extremely important. Let me ask you a question. How many of you thought about the fear of God this week? One. I'll just read. How many thought about the fear of God this week? I'll give you a chance. Okay. More than I thought. I'll be honest with you. I didn't until Friday. And I was praying about what the Lord had me teach today. But the simple matter of fact is, if it's this important, how often should we be thinking about God and who he is all the time? It's that important, folks. This is a crucial thing in our lives, and yet it's just unheard of. And by the way, What's wrong with the world today? You want to sum it up with one thing? There's no fear of God. Why is all the trash on television? There's no fear of God. Why is all the trash in the world? There's no fear of God. Why are our priorities in life so out of whack? Because there's no fear of God. Now, tragically, the problem in the world is the same problem in the church. Why do we struggle with sin? Why do we not serve God? Why do we not have holy lives? It's the same reason. We don't have the fear of God. I don't have the fear of God. And yet God's word places a high priority in the word of God. Now, thirdly, let me give you the impact of the fear of God. What will happen, and I've already touched this some, but I want to give you the scriptures for it. The impact of the fear of God, number one, it will cause us to depart from evil. Now, I'm going to get you to turn to scripture in a minute. But listen again to these verses. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. All right? Are you with me? What is the direct response to the fear of God? You will. Let me read the verse again. What will you do? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. If you fear the Lord, what are you going to do? Depart from evil. I know that was easy, but I like to see your mouth moving. It lets me know that you're actually thinking, because the look on your face says, I'm not thinking, okay? You all stayed up too late last night or something. I don't know. All right. Secondly, Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is, now this is interesting because he's actually telling us what the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If I properly have a fear of God, I will hate evil. Now let's just stop and think about, do you hate evil? There's a direct correlation between our fear of God and our hatred for evil. Proverbs 16:6 says, but mercy and truth, or excuse me, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Remember the introduction? Trouble with sin, you want to know the secret to not sinning? Do you see it in this verse, folks? By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's simple, isn't it? If we have the fear of the Lord, we will not sin. Now, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And continuing this thought, the impact of the fear of God. We've identified it. We've seen the importance. We're looking at the impact now of the fear of God. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Now notice verse 5, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now that's kind of a tough verse to understand. He said, look, I want you to fear the one that has the power to cast you into hell for all eternity. Now, you got your thinking cap on? Who is the one who has the power, and be careful, to cast someone into hell? It's probably not the first answer you're thinking. Yourself, yes, you can reject God. You better fear yourself. Probably your first thought is the one that has the power to cast you into hell is the devil. But it's not the devil, is it? The devil has no control over who goes to hell. Now, he's going to try to influence you to keep you from going to heaven. He's going to try to get you to reject God and reject salvation. But you know what? There's someone who's going to cast the devil into hell. And he's going to cast the false prophet and the beast into hell. Who is that? God. So who are we talking about here, folks, in verse 5? Who should you fear? Not the devil. The Bible never teaches you to fear the devil. He said, look, fear him which hath, after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Folks, that's God. We need to have a reverential fear of God. Now, why? Well, look at this passage. He starts in verse 1, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed on the housetops. And I want to skip down to verse 6. Are not sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. What is he saying in this passage, folks? Why should we fear God? Because he knows everything about you. That is rather sobering, isn't it? You know that thought you had yesterday that no one knows about? God does. You know that thing you said yesterday that only one person knows? God knows all about it. You know that action that you took in the dark when you're by yourself that nobody knows about? God knows. Now, that's scary enough, okay? God knows it all. Everything you did this week, God knows it. But did you see the rest of the verse there, folks? Not only does God know it, but what's God going to do? He's going to reveal it. How would you feel this morning when you walked in and I'd said, well, it's great to have David Ellison here this morning, and David, I've got a projector here, and we've recorded everything about your life this week, and we're going to just show the highlights to everybody in the class. I guarantee you, one person who wouldn't be here for Sunday school, David Ellison. And I guarantee you, if it was true about my life, I wouldn't be here either. I mean, just think about it, folks. All those things you said that you should not have said, they're going to be revealed. The thoughts that you had will be revealed. The actions that you took will be revealed. That's probably why in the Word of God, he said, look, you need to realize, folks, that you're going to give an account for every idle word that you say. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to think about the sins you committed this week, okay? Whether they were actions, thoughts, words. Okay? If I told you, David Wampler, any sin you commit this week, we're going to put it on a screen Sunday for the whole class, for the whole church to see. Would that have kept you from sinning? I think so. If you told me last week, okay, Gary, everything you do that's wrong this week, we're going to put it up here and we're going to show the whole class, I guarantee you, I would have thought twice about everything I did, wouldn't you? Let's see now. They're all going to... Is that for me? You're a popular guy, Larry. That's all right. I've done the same. In fact, I don't even know where mine is. And it's probably on somewhere. It's probably in the pulpit. Call it during the church service. I tell you what, folks, that is a sobering, sobering thought. Now, God is the judge. He knows it all. He's going to reveal it all. But I want you to, there's another step we need to go beyond that, folks. Not only is that true, but God is also going to judge it all. Now, for a person who's saved, for a person who's lost, listen to Revelation 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's everybody who's lost. And the books were opened. another book was opened, which is the book of life. You know what the book of life is? It's a record of the life. Everything about their life, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And how will they be judged? So many people think, look, I've done this and I've done that. I'm a good guy. And if you take all my good and bad and you weigh it, I'm going to be all right. What does it say that the things the book of life are going to do? It's not going to save them. It's going to condemn them. And it says they were judged every man according to their works. And of course, there's another book, isn't there? The book of the Lamb's book of life. And that book will be open if their name's not there. Of course, it won't be. That's why they're at that judgment. They will die and go to hell for all eternity. Why? And you say, boy, I'm glad I'm a believer. I'm glad that's not true of me. Now, I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, which we will all be at, we're going to even count really for our works, what we've done for God. But folks, there's at some point, judgment is going to come. I was listening to a sermon, the guy was talking about their sins will come after them. And I thought, oh, my soul. Look, folks, we need to have a fear of God because he is a God who knows everything. He is omniscient. God knows everything. Everything we say, everything we do, everything we think, God knows about it. And look, folks, not only does he know about it, but he is going to reveal it. And he has the power to judge it. I my goal this morning is to heighten your fear of God. By the way, on the flip side, a fear of God also causes us to enjoy a good life. It'll cause us to depart from evil, but it'll cause us to enjoy a good life. Listen to Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, he shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Why is that? Why does the person who fear God have a blessed life, an honored life, knows the presence of God? Why is that? Because if you have the fear of God, at the flip side, you're not going to sin. And so you're not going to experience the judgment of God for those things. And you're going to have a life blessed of God. Now, final point. If the fear of God does all this, okay, you with me so far? If the fear of God will keep you from evil, will give you a pleasant life, if it's so important to God, then what should our question be at this point? How do I get it? I'm glad Steve's awake today. I wish the rest of you all awake. How do I get it? How do you get the fear of God? Well, you go to sleep one night and you wake up with it the next morning, right? How do you get the fear of God? Number one, the attitude. You must seek it. You must choose it. Look at Proverbs 1:29 says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Folks, first of all, it starts with a desire to have the fear of the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, boy, as I've been studying this and praying about this, man, I really want the fear of the Lord in my life. I really do. Now, turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Not only must you have the right attitude, you must choose it, but you have to seek after it. You have to seek it. Look in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. Proverbs 2 and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You have to seek after. And how do you seek after according to that passage? How did he start in verse 1? My son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee. Thou criest after knowledge and understanding. Look, Let me give you one other passage in Deuteronomy 17. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write upon, this is talking about the coming kings, he shall write him a copy of this law in the book out of that which before the priests of the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. This is a copy of scripture, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his laws and his statutes to do him. What was the king supposed to do? He was supposed to have a copy of the word of God that they had in that time. And he was supposed to read it every day. And he said, if you'll do that, what are you going to get? You're going to get the fear of God. You know why we don't have a fear of God in our lives? Because we don't know God. Why don't we know God? I mean, hallelujah. What's this book all about? This is God's self-revelation, okay? This is how God reveals himself. And the reason I don't fear God the way I should, folks, is I don't know God because I don't spend enough time in his word. And I'm not reminded on a daily basis that God knows everything I'm doing and that God is going to judge everything I'm doing, that he's going to reveal these things. We talk much about reading the Word of God on a daily basis and these things, and we think, oh, well, you know, hey, if I've got time, I'm okay. If I don't have time. Look, the reason we struggle with sin, folks, is because we don't have a fear of God. And the reason we don't have a fear of God is because we don't spend time in the Word every day. We don't know God. By the way, I hope you don't read your Bible just to know stuff. We ought to read the Bible to know God. There's a great difference there, folks. You can know all the facts of the Word of God and not know God. And so we are encouraged, look, get in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Know God. By the way, you can know Him through His Word. You can also know Him through experience. In Ecclesiastes 3:14, it says, I know that whatsoever the Lord God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear. In the book of Jonah, when Jonah was cast into the sea and the waters and the wave quit and everything, it says the sailors feared God. Why? Because they saw what happened to Jonah. I hope somehow this morning you're saying, boy, I need to get a reverential fear of God in my life. I want you to look at one final passage. We'll be done. Turn to Joshua chapter 24. And verse 14. Joshua 24, 14. Joshua 24, 14. Joshua's last charge to Israel before he dies. And here it is. Now, a man's last words are very important. Here's the leader of Israel. He's about to die. And he wants to pass on one final message to the children of Israel. What is it? What does he want to say to them? Here it is in verse 14. Now, therefore, do what? Fear the Lord. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Again, you see the correlation between fearing God and doing right? And if it seem evil in you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah. When I was the Wilds, the saying was, only two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. And it all depends upon your fear of God. There are times when you teach and you feel like everybody's with you and you're getting through. And there's times you feel like you're kind of beating your head against the wall. I kind of feel that way this morning. I hope my feelings aren't true. I hope somehow God will use this to speak to our hearts, including my heart, to help us to see the importance of fearing God. I mean, I know this hasn't been a happy jump around and just have joy as you teach and as we listen, but folks, you need the fear of God, and so do I. And if we'll get it, it'll keep us from sin, and it'll open up to us a life of blessing and fellowship with God. So the question as we conclude is, do you fear God? Now we can say yes, but I guess the question maybe should be, are you having victory over sin in your life? Because those two are the same. If we have fear of God, if we have a reverence for God and who He is, then we'll have victory over sin. And so let me give you the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's God's word for us today. Lord, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for who You are. We thank You that You love us. Even though You're a holy God, You loved us so much that You gave us Your only Son to die for us. And Lord, help us, I pray, to see the importance of fearing God, to have this reverential awe for who You are, and help it to change our lives. God, I pray You'd just drive these thoughts home to our hearts. Don't let the devil snatch these thoughts out of our minds, but God, keep them there and help us to meditate on these things, that our hearts would be changed, that our lives would be changed, that we would please You in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.